Christmas and lights seem to go hand in hand. And for some people, the bigger, the better. Christmas is all about decorating their house with a completely over-the-top display of Christmas lights. Maybe you've seen some as you drive around. Or maybe you remember Chevy Chase in the movie National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. There's a very funny scene about Christmas lights there where he drains all the power from the whole city and all the lights go out everywhere else and they have to flip the nuclear generator back on so it can run his lights. But this guy is a real-life Chevy Chase, I think. His name's John Kovacevic. He spends almost 2 months putting 100,000 lights on his house in Hurstville, not far away. He thinks he's spent around $50,000 on lights over the last 18 years. But he says it's worth it because he loves to see the smiles on kids' faces that the lights bring. And he's also raising money from donations to help treat leukemia at the Sydney Children's Hospital. So it's for a good cause. But why do we celebrate Christmas with lights? Well, one option is because they remind us of the star that led the wise men to Jesus, shining brightly and leading them all the way to Bethlehem. Or maybe it's the shepherds in the fields on the night Jesus was born. We read in Luke chapter 2 how an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds and the glory of the Lord shone around them. That would have been a pretty impressive light show. But we're going to think about another incredible light show, because all of those amazing lights just point to and remind us of the best Christmas light show of all, Jesus himself, the light of the world. We read from John's Gospel. John doesn't tell the Christmas story. We find the Christmas story in Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel. But what John does do instead, chapter 1 introduces us to the Word. A mysterious figure we find out halfway through this section we read is actually Jesus. We find out that Jesus was in the beginning, and he was with God, and he was God. Jesus has existed from all eternity. Verse 2 says that through him everything was made. So Jesus is different from creation, and he's the agent for creation. Verse 4 says that in him was life. He's the source of life. He's not just alive, but he's the one who gives life. He's so full of life, life flows out of him and flows and gives life to everything. But not just that. The life he gives has a certain quality to it. We read in verse 4, that life was the light of man. The type of life that Jesus produces, that Jesus gives, produces insight and perception in people. Intellectual insight, spiritual insight. The life Jesus gives people helps them to be conscious of themselves, to be conscious of God. He's given us the ability to glimpse eternity, to have faith in things we can't see. I think that's what it means when it talks about the life was the light of men. But not just consciousness, not just understanding, but conscience. Conscience, that moral ability we have to choose right and wrong. And it reflects the purity and goodness of Jesus himself when he gave us light. Well, it would be a wonderful picture if that's where everything finished in verse 4, the way things were with Adam and Eve. But verse 5 goes on to describe what happened after that. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. It's not as simple as Jesus creating us with the light of understanding. The problem is our basic nature is more about darkness, not light. As a general rule, this verse says, when the light shines on our darkness, we don't understand it. We don't accept it. We don't allow ourselves to be guided by Jesus' light. What does it mean by light? We're not talking literal light. Light and dark has two ideas, and they're connected, I think. One is to do with information and guidance, the way a car headlight guides people, or a lighthouse guides people. Jesus shows the way. He guides and directs people. The other way we use light and dark is to do with good and evil. Light is about purity and being blameless. Darkness is about sin and shame and guilt. And so this verse says that when humanity, whose basic nature is darkness, has the pure, clean light of Jesus shine on us, we don't want to know. We don't want to be guided towards life and love and joy. We block our ears, we run away, like cockroaches who scurry under the fridge when you turn on the kitchen light at night. A bit further on in chapter 3, it describes this natural human response to Jesus' light. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Men loved darkness. In July 1977, a series of lightning strikes caused a city-wide blackout across New York. 20 million people living in darkness. When the lights finally came on, 25 hours later, arsonists had set more than 1,000 fires. Looters had ransacked 1,600 stores. The New York Post reported that the streets had become a battleground, with even the looters being mugged. Many of the people involved were normal, law-abiding citizens, but they used the darkness as an opportunity to do what their hearts wanted. Normally, when the lights were on, they wouldn't even think of acting the way they acted. Time magazine began an article on the event with this sentence. It was a crisis of light and of darkness, the kind of event that brings out the best and the worst in people. That's what Jesus means when he says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. Literally, they love literal darkness because it hides the darkness of their deeds and their desires. And when they love darkness, that means they hate the light. Verse 20 of chapter 3 says that they hate the light because it exposes them. They don't want anybody to see what they're really like. Certainly not Jesus. I heard of a shopping centre in Brisbane that was having trouble with groups of teenagers who would hang around in the public areas. Loitering, they call it. Loitering's bad for business, the management decided, because these loitering teenagers didn't buy anything and they scared off the other customers. And security guards would move them on, but that would only work temporarily. But here's one thing they found that worked beautifully. Put pink lights to shine in all the trouble areas. Why pink lights? Well, apparently pink lights show up all the pimples on the teenagers' faces. And no teenager wants to hang around in a light that shows off all their blemishes. And so they'd move off to some other colour light. And it's the same with people. We don't want to listen to the truth that Jesus speaks, because his light shows our blemishes. A few chapters on, in chapter 7, Jesus says this, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil." Jesus speaks the light of truth into people's lives, and rather than receive it and change, they hate him for it. The foolishness of that choice is seen as we read on in chapter 1. A few verses on in chapter 1, verse 9, we find out more about the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Jesus, you see, he's not just a light. He's not one source of light among many. He's not one choice on the religious smorgasbord of life. He's the true light, the genuine light, the light on which all other lights are modelled. All other expressions of the truth flow out of or contain part of the truth of Jesus, the true light. He's the true light. And his light isn't just a twinkle. It's not a candle. The information that Jesus gives us about ourselves, it's not outdated, bound by culture. It's not context dependent. It's true light that gives light to every man, every person, from every age and every situation and every language and culture. Jesus is always relevant. He's always appropriate, and the information he gives is always beneficial. That's what this verse is saying. It's because Jesus made us. He knows us best. Jesus knows humanity from the outside, from the perspective of eternity. Just like the author knows every paragraph of his novel, or the sculptor knows every curve and line of his sculpture, the inventor who knows every switch and lever and diode of his device. Jesus is the true light who gives light to every man. He's from outside. He created us. How did he give that light to everybody? By coming into the world. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. Jesus stepping from eternity into time. He didn't send us light by sending an email or flipping a switch. He came from heaven to earth. He put aside his heavenly throne. He put on feeble flesh. He put down the author's pen and he jumped into the pages of his novel. He put down the paintbrush and he dived into the painting. And that means that he gives true light, not just as the creator, but as one who has lived with us. He knows humanity from the inside as well as from the outside. Jesus has experienced everything that we've ever been through. Every temptation, every sorrow, every trial, every joy. He's the true light who came into the world. It would be fitting to announce his arrival with fireworks, a marching band, a 21-gun salute. After all, this is the origin, the source, the guide, the essence of everything that's been created. But instead, the Christmas story is he came as a helpless baby, ignored by almost everyone, placed in a feeding trough, in a dusty, insignificant village of a dusty, insignificant nation. The bitter irony, the one who had created everything was ignored by that very creation. Verse 10 says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. It's like the TV show Undercover Boss. The owner of the company puts on a disguise and he comes to visit his employees. He's the one who's established everything in the company. He's copyrighted the name. He's registered the business. He's designed the systems. He's built the product line and the markets. He's appointed these people to their jobs. But they don't recognise him. They treat him like any other employee. But it's actually worse than that for Jesus. Not only don't people recognise him, they don't receive him. They reject him. They throw him off his own property and change the locks. Because darkness hates light. The light shone in the darkness, but the darkness didn't understand it. Well, that's all fairly depressing, isn't it? Maybe you're wondering why we have Christmas lights that are supposed to make you happy if that's all we do, if it only reminds us of how we reject the light of Jesus. How wonderful, though, that that's not the full picture, because verse 12 goes on to say that not everyone rejects the light. Yet. I love that little word. It's good, isn't it? Yet. There is some light at the end of this tunnel. There is some good news. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Every person who's ever become a Christian comes to a point, a turning point in their life. Before, they thought they were fine. They were happy with life, comfortable in their own ability, wandering around in the darkness. But at some point, they come to the end of themselves. They recognise their sin. They recognise the blackness of their own hearts. They recognise their hopelessness and helplessness and lostness. They recognise that they need light, guidance, direction, goodness, restoration. And instead of scurrying for the darkness like cockroaches, they reach out for the light of Jesus, who speaks to them truth about life and death and God and man, sin and forgiveness. And anyone who's become a Christian receives that light. Verse 10 says that means they believe in his name, which means they trust the truth of the information he brings. Firstly, when you're lost in the dark and someone comes to you and shines the torch and says, "Follow me, I know the way out," you want to trust them. You want to believe in their name. When you're drowning in the surf and someone paddles up to you and says, "Hold on to me, I'll get you to safety," you want to trust him. And so when Jesus comes and says, "You're lost in the darkness of your selfishness and rejection from God, follow me, I'll lead you back to God," you should trust him. Believe in his name. Believe in his authority to speak on God's behalf. Because after all, from the beginning, he was with God and he was God. Verse 12 says, when we do that, Jesus gives us the right to become children of God. He authorises us to become children of God. He stamps the visa for entrance into God's family. He processes the adoption papers and welcomes us into his family. It's exactly what we see over in John chapter 3, the story about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He spent his life studying the Jewish religion. If there was anyone who should know where he's going, anyone who should see the light, you'd think it would be this guy. Verse 2 there on the screen says, he comes to Jesus. This is interesting. He comes to Jesus at night. Now that could simply be telling us the time. It could simply be saying he doesn't want anybody to see him. But I think it's talking about light and dark. I think it's saying that Nicodemus is in the dark. He needs the light of Jesus to give him life. And he says, "Here's what I've worked out about you so far. You're a teacher from God and you do miraculous signs." Jesus says, verse 3, "Nice try, but you're not even close. You're blind, you're in the dark. You can't see the kingdom of God. You can't see because you're in the dark. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again." born from above, unless God gives you birth and makes you his child. Just like we saw back in chapter 1, Jesus gives the right to become children of God. Jesus continues, verse 5, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You shouldn't be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Only God can do that. Only God can turn the lights on for a person. You can't do it by studying or by racial connections, being born in the right country, or birthright, being born into the right family. You can't do it by trying really hard. Nicodemus, he's not so sure. How can this be? He's in the dark. Jesus is offering him light. Will he receive it? Will he believe? And then Jesus turns on the spotlight. He floods the room with the greatest truth of human history and what we should do in response. In verse 14, down the bottom of that screen, it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus would be lifted up on a cross. He would give his life in our place to save us from God's judgment and death. And our response is to look to him, to trust in the effectiveness of that act, to believe in his name. Do that, says Jesus, you'll receive eternal life. You'll be born again. That's Jesus, the light, shining on Nicodemus's darkness. But it's not just Nicodemus. Jesus is the true light who gives light to every man. A few chapters further on, he says this about himself, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Receive the light Jesus brings. Let him shine onto your darkness, your blindness of your true condition, your deafness of your affection for God, the foolishness of you chasing after things that disappoint and destroy. Follow him, you'll never walk in darkness. Jesus promises it. You'll have the light of life. You'll have the information that leads you to true life. Absolute, ultimate, maximum life. Life of joy and purpose and perspective. What will that joy look like? What will it mean for you to walk in Jesus' light instead of walking in darkness? Well, let me give you two expressions of that. Firstly, rejoice in the light. As we come up to Christmas, it's easy to forget. It's easy to take for granted the incredible gift that we celebrate. The true light, who gives light to all men, came into the world. He left heaven and took on all of our mess and our muck. As Christians, we should rejoice in that more than anyone, shouldn't we? Christians should be the happiest of all people at Christmas. Because most people, the light shines on darkness and they don't understand it. In fact, they hate the light because their deeds are evil. But for us, we've received the greatest gift of all. The end of that passage Laura read for us, John 1:16, says, from the fullness of God's grace, we've all received one blessing after another. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who's at the Father's side, has made him known. We've seen God in the person of Jesus, the light of the world, and we've received him. If we are Christian, we've received him, and we walk in his light. What a joy it is to celebrate those truths. And the second thing that I think it means for us as Christians is that perhaps we should shine a little light of our own. Philippians chapter 2 says, encourages us to have the same attitude as Jesus, who gave up everything to serve people. And then we're commanded to consider other people before we consider ourselves. And then in verse 14 it says we should do everything without complaining or arguing, all because we're considering Jesus, we're thinking about him and imitating him, we're walking in the light he's given us. And then verse 15 describes that lifestyle, the end result of all of that. It says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Forget Christmas lights that decorate your house. Work a little harder at rejoicing in Jesus as the light of the world. Work a little harder at having the same attitude that Jesus had for people, so that you can shine a little of Jesus' light to the people that you meet. And may you bring them even more joy than the best Christmas lights, as we celebrate the true light who gives light to all men who came into the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the light of Jesus that gives light, that shines light onto our ignorance and darkness, our sin and shame and guilt. We thank you for the life that he gives us, for the right to be called your children when we believe in his name. Please help us to live as your children this Christmas, to experience the joy of walking in the light of Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen.